stay by the stuff and keep on doing it. Well, I'm delighted to have my good friend, Dr. Keith Gomez, preach closing message tonight. We have been friends for a long time. I know a lot of people could get up and talk about knowing Brother Gomez, including the guy sitting behind me. Man, he'd been good friends with Brother Gomez for a long time as well. But I appreciate his friendship, appreciate his faithfulness. I appreciate his stand. And he's never been timid about taking a stand. And I appreciate that. I really do. Some people don't like you if you take a stand, but I appreciate faithfulness to truth and the willingness to say what needs to be said. He's never been bashful about that. He's a man's man. I've hunted with him, fished with him, and we've had good fellowship. I preached for him and with him many times, and I love Brother Gomez. He's got a great school up there, Providence. He's got a great church. I was just there on Sunday, and he and his people prayed and worked, and the Lord gave us a wonderful harvest. We had 48, I think it was, saved on Sunday morning, many of those in the adult service. Matter of fact, most of them in the adult service. But they had prayed, and they had labored to get visitors in there. So it's great work, and the Lord's used him through the years and still using him. I'm glad to count him my friend and appreciate him being here tonight. Do we have a special, or is he coming straight up? Okay, the fellas, come on up and sing. And when they conclude the special, my good friend, Brother Gomez, will preach a closing message tonight.
And death is thine. There rose a lamb. my victory. You know He's living, and death has died. If you felt Him like I feel Him, resurrection deep inside. You know He's living, and death has died. Death has died.
Thank you, guys. Bless you. Thank you, guys. John chapter 6 in your Bibles, please. John chapter 6. What a joy to be here tonight. What a marvelous message we just heard just a while ago by Dr. Wallace. Long, long time. It's been since I've seen Dr. Wallace, and what a wonderful message. Told us how to get old. Some of us already there. On the way here, I kept telling my wife, we got parts of the way here, and I said, I was supposed to take 57 because there's several ways to get here, coming down 355. I said, no, that's right. I can go straight down 355. Got to 55, and I traveled so much, been doing it for 31 years every week. And then this past year, the 32nd year, I'm only taking two meetings a month. But I ended up going down 55, headed towards St. Louis. And I had gone for a while, and I just started blowing my horn. I mean, it makes me so mad. I mean, I couldn't hit her. She's too small. So I just blow my horn and going the wrong way. And some of you just shouldn't let out of the house every now and again, but you make mistakes like that. Go ahead, you don't have to laugh. I mean, you don't have to laugh. You don't have to worry about it. What he said is going to happen to you one day. Those nice young boys that stood up here and sang a while ago, they're going to lose it. Sure as I'm here. They're going to mess up, forget the song lyrics and all of it. Because that's just the way it is, man. Thank you, Brother Wallace. That was wonderful. He's always been funny. But I can't wait till I'm 84 years old to tell some of the jokes, the risque jokes that I know, and get away with it. My wife told me, she said, when you get about 80, I'm going to put a dog collar on you, and I'm going to just shock you every now and again when you say it. Had you ever heard that? That's what the... Anyway, I can't tell you what my daddy said getting old is because it wouldn't float here. But anyway, he was right about it for sure. And it's a joy to be here. Dr. Coral, thank you so much for the invite. And it's marvelous. He has a great ministry, great paper. And it's been good to know him and Kathy and children down through the years. Good friend. Standing for God in these days. And I appreciate it. A good paper. And that's wonderful. Dr. Angel also... For these 15 years that Providence Baptist College has been in existence, he's been driving from here all the way there every week for 15 years. And I want to thank you, Dr. Angel, for your dedication to the next generation. He doesn't talk about it. He actually does something about it and been driving there for that many years. And Faith Baptist, thank you for sharing him with us and with the country. Marvelous, marvelous preacher of God. Used very greatly in our place, the revival that we just had. Normally use evangelists, but I decided and prayed about it. And God used Dr. Angel in a good way at our place here recently. Faith Baptist, thank you for your love and your dedication to our ministry and sharing your preacher with us for sure. Good to see the good preacher friends also. Always a joy to see you, at least most of you. And you're wonderful to pray for you. For sure, you that I know, I pray for you, and that's marvelous. You know, Brother Wallace has a preacher's voice, but he has a voice for radio, doesn't he? I got a face for radio, but anyway, John chapter 6 in your Bible. Let's stand one more time, stretch a little bit. And I know some of you looking at your clock need to pray for Brother Wilkins as he's hospital and got it kind of running a little bit behind because Brother Wallace is going to get his notes. He had to call his wife to get him faxed to him. That's good, Brother Wallace, how you laid that out. That's good. That's wonderful. And I can say amen to everything he said right there. But So you just listen. I'll try to get you out as quick as I can. I've got 5 points. I'll probably just preach one or two of them tonight as the Lord leads. John chapter 6 in your Bibles, please. And let's pick it up in verse 60, if you would, please. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Watch it. Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered him, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil?" And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Father, I pray that you would help for a little while tonight. We thank you, Holy Ghost of God, for speaking to us today. Wonderful morning sessions, and of course tonight. We ask you, Lord, to do a work in our lives and hearts. May we say the right things today to help the next generation that's coming up behind us. Dr. Wallace, so very right. One of these days, very soon, the lights will go out in our lives. And the next generation is going to have to step up and do their job. And Father, I pray that, and been praying now for all these years, that you give us a new generation, another generation of old-time fundamental Baptists. I pray, Lord, please, that you'd help us tonight, have us to understand that the new way is not the good way. I pray, Father, we would understand that there's voices and there's trends that are happening that bothers some of us that's been around for a while. I pray that you'd help us. I pray I'd say something that would be said today, tonight, that would help somebody to stay on track. Bless this good church. Pray that something would be said tonight to help them. Thank you, Brother Angel and the ministry here. Bless them, please. Pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. Jesus said, "Shall ye also go away?" Have you ever wondered why people leave? Everybody in this room, if you've been in church at any length of time, you will see people wander and drift away. I've always wondered even why preachers drift away. Jesus had just declared himself the bread of life, the living bread. He said, "Your fathers did eat manna from heaven and are dead. But if you eat me, the living bread, you will never die." This was hard for them to believe and accept, and Jesus knew that his declarations had offended them. I'm a little weary sometimes in this generation how people are saying that some of the preaching that they're hearing today from our fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptists are offensive. I run with good company because the Lord offended people by what he said. Truth always offends those that are not living right. It ought to be where people come to our services that are not living right, they ought to feel uncomfortable. We're living in a generation today that the preaching is soothing anymore instead of convicting anymore. I remember when I went to Central Baptist Church as a long-haired hippie boy, I didn't feel comfortable, I felt convicted. And you cannot be converted unless you've been convicted. And we need convicting preaching once again. And sometimes that type of preaching will offend you. Bob Smith didn't cut any corners. He preached on long hair, long hippie hair. I had that. Preached on beards on men. I had that. He preached on hippie dress. I had that. But it was convicting to me. It didn't offend me. It convicted me. And I'm wondering how in the world are we going to make it in this generation with those that are coming back. All these years we have waved the white flag and waved our hands, begging those not to go in the far country. I'm convinced today that we're turning around and we're receiving them from the far country. They're coming in tattooed and pierced and dropped out and flopped out and look like they fell out the back end of MTV. I'm simply saying that somewhere, somehow, we've got to have preachers that are telling it like it is from the Scriptures. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm not talking about being ugly. I'm talking about preaching the Word of God. And isn't it amazing that we that preach against sin are always called cantankerous or mean? We have those that are writing books now trying to tell us that we're mean-spirited. But when they preach, they're passionate. I think that's very interesting that they would make such an observation. I think it's amazing that Jesus here said that it offended them. Jesus told them that what he had spoken to them by the Spirit, they were hearing in the flesh. He said that you can't come to me by the flesh. You must come to me by the Spirit. If you can come to me by the Spirit, you must stay in the Spirit. Look at verse 66, very sad statement. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then verse 67, how sad. Do ye also go away? Dr. Andrew, there are preachers that were here last year that's not here this year. Now, scroll down through the years, we have watched those that drift away. I'm talking about preacher flesh, not only lay flesh. That's walked away and followed no more. Those that decide that maybe we're just a little bit too radical because we actually believe we have a copy of God's Word and we actually believe that we can preach and people can get saved. We actually believe that we ought to have separation, that we actually believe that women ought to be women and men ought to be men and dress like them and act like them. We really believe that, and they think that's a little bit radical. I'm amazed at how the preaching gets changed down through the years. The sad part about it is the fundamental, independent, temperamental Baptist not only gave me a Bible, but they gave me a verse about what I believe. And down through the years, I listened to that, and I believe that. I never preached for amens. I want you to listen very carefully. They gave me a verse and gave me the Bible and told me this is what we're supposed to be, and this is what we're supposed to believe. And all of a sudden now, we're drifting from that. We're trying to make our preaching palatable. We're trying to make people like us. I don't see that in John the Baptist. I see him preaching the truth. I see all down through the Word of God. That's exactly what they did. I don't know if you know this or not, but all of them lost their lives for believing and preaching what they believed. Yet we want to be popular. We want somebody to like us instead of preach the truth. I'm simply saying that here the Lord said that they didn't follow him anymore. And he asked the question, will ye also go away? He just fed the 5,000. They were attracted to him, but they couldn't handle the strong meat that he had put on them. Just look at it. That's what he said. When he did it, they all went away. I guess my question to you is, shall ye also go away? I had preached now for all these many years, and I preached with some of the best preachers that ever walked in shoe leather. Some of those men are not even in the ministry anymore. Some are in state penitentiary. And I'm not bashing preachers. I'm trying to make a point that I don't care if you're preacher flesh. I don't care if you're lay flesh. There's a possibility that you're going to go away also. I am a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, soul-winning, separatist, Big B Baptist. I know what all those words mean. I'm not trying to be ugly tonight. I'm telling you the truth. I know what those mean. So why are we having books being written now that we ought to drop some of those names, saying that we shouldn't be fundamentalists, we shouldn't be those things, because those things have connotations. We've had those that come back behind us, and those that we can speak of tonight that took Baptist off their sign because they said Baptist has a negative connotation. It certainly does. It means something. I'm not a non-John. I don't have a non-John church. I have a Baptist church. I know my heritage. I know where I came from. I understand we baptize our converts by deep water. We understand that. I understand what Baptist means. And those that are taking it off their name are compromising is what they're doing. They're compromising, and then this is what the statements they make. I'm not going to let my town go to hell for all the money in the world just because I want to be a Baptist. Because Baptist has a negative connotation. It's happening all over. Am I telling the truth about it? It's happening all over. It's happening not only with some of our graduates, but it's happening all over, and it's happening to men that we have known, that have stood in conferences just like this and raised the roof and said, this is the camp you ought to be connected with. And as soon as one of the leaders die, they gravitate to new evangelicalism. How sad that is. You said, what are you trying to say tonight? I'm saying there's folks in this room, if you don't nail it down tight tonight and understand you do have a book of God, and that book ought to dictate to us what we believe. Are y'all with me tonight? I know what all of those things mean, a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. And I believe this because I believe that book. That's the only thing I can be. You read that book right, that you got to land on your feet right there. I didn't say a Methodist. I'm not trying to offend these other places. I'm just trying to say that if you know that book, that's what you've got to be, a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. Now, I couldn't be anything else. I believe that we're the closest thing as described in the Scriptures concerning the New Testament church. I see a strange thing happening, though. We're hearing strange voices, Dr. Coral. We see those that are apostatizing. We see, and you know, you can't fall away from the truth unless you have the truth. So we're not talking about some of these ministries and some of these denominations that never had the truth to start with. We dead sure are talking about some that did have the truth that apostatized. But in these last days, it's got to be us. And there's some that are falling away. Jesus said, shall you also go away? There are those that are now telling us that the culture should dictate our doctrine. We have missionaries now that are writing me and telling me that we're not anymore believing that the dress on a woman is can be dictated out of Deuteronomy 22:5 or any other place of the Scriptures, because now all across the world the common dress of all women are breeches. And because of that, Deuteronomy 22:5 does not make any sense and is not relevant today. What I'd like, some of you are getting quiet on me tonight. What I'd like to do is show up to that mission field, me and Brother Coral, and a few of us industrial-sized boys in skirts. If you didn't get sick before, you're sick now, man. Let us show up in skirts. Some of you ladies, bless the Lord. I wish you'd see some of the ladies' faces right now. Show up in skirts and preach for him. If he didn't believe Deuteronomy 22:5 in the Bible is still correct and that women is okay for a woman to dress like a man, I guess that means that it's okay for a man to dress like a woman. You see, there was a day in our fundamental independent Baptist conferences like this when a preacher preached like this, everybody amen. Now they're staring at him, but you know, I'm like Jeremiah, I'm not afraid of their faces. How sad it is that that's where we've gotten to anymore. We don't know anything about holiness. We don't know anything about separation anymore. We're just as close as we can get to the world. That's what we want to do. No wonder there ain't no power. No wonder we can't have the power of God in our services and see God come down in mighty power and work on some things. Because we're so close to the world. We're just accepting that stuff. And how sad it is. We want to be popular preachers now and entertaining preachers now. I'm simply saying that it's a shame that we're getting these things from our missionaries and from preachers saying that the culture should dictate our practice and our doctrine. I thought the Bible was supposed to do that. We're getting those voices in those books that are written concerning the roads ahead. Could I say this to you, that I don't mind discussing the road ahead as long as it connects with the road behind? I'm talking about roads, those men that are connected that paved the way for me down through the past. I'm talking about the old war horses that stood for that book and stood for what we claim we believe. I want to be connected to that road. You understand that? I don't want to be connected to Bill Hybels that lives in my back door. I don't want to be connected to the Rick Warrens and the Stetzers and all them individuals. The false cheap brethren, the false cheap grace brethren. I don't want to be a part of that. I want the road connect. Some of you folks are living that and watching that and reading that and gravitating that way because things are nice and kind and shiny. You're impressed with crowds. You're impressed with crowds. Y'all need to come to my place. Not my place, but just down the road there. We can go to, if you really want to see impressive stuff, let's go to Bill Hybels over there. If the crowds dictate truth, let's go to Bill Hybels. That guy's going to these little conferences and trying to be taught away from fundamental baptism, taught the soft way and the easy way. And then they're saying that we're mean and ornery when we preach, and yet when they preach, they're passionate. I think it's very interesting. I want to associate with those that paid the price. The point I'm trying to make is I want to dance with the one that brought me. We have a whole generation that's being, a whole generation of preacher boys that's being pulled away from the old time way. I don't know if you know this. If you read the banner, that's what it says up there. If that's what it says up there, I think that's what we ought to hold to. What do you think? The old time way. You say, well, preacher, why does some change? I had a preacher friend of mine. I thought he was going to be here. He might be in the building. I'm not quite sure. But he was in a place in Florida. And his little daughter came up to me and said, Dad, he said, could I have a track? That man sitting right over there needs a track. He looks lost. Dad gave the little girl the track. And she went over there and she handed the man. And the man grabbed the track and he looked at it and he said, sweetie, he said, thank you for giving me that. He said, I'm a Christian. In fact, I'm a preacher. Well, the pastor went over there, and when he walked over there, he shook the man's hand. And when the man introduced himself, my preacher friend just stood back and couldn't believe it. He had short shorts on, Brother Wallace. Shorts on. Argyle socks. I appreciate you, Brother Wallace, but I don't want to see you like that. I don't want to see your varicose veins. In fact, I think they'd be very gross veins. But anyway, a man between our ages, shorts, Argyle socks. Sandals. I appreciated him many times across this country. Probably one of the greatest pulpiteers I've ever been around. I've been in meetings with him where it's so thick you could cut it with a knife. The Holy Ghost come down in mighty power. Now all of a sudden, he's gone another direction. I remember one time a preacher friend of mine and I were preaching together with him. Flew in the same airport. We flew in the same airport. He would not drive with us because he had other stuff that he had to tend to, and he did. And I won't go into that because of the mixed audience. And I remember the next day, the preacher told me, he said, the doc wants to talk to me. He said, are you going to be all right? I said, yeah, I had my little daughter with me on the trip. I flew her with me, and I said, me and Ashley will go right across here, and we'll get us a bite to eat. He said, well, you'd like to talk to me. Took him out to lunch, and he leaned over. He said, I think you need to get away from that guy, that Keith Gomez guy. He said, you need to get away from him. He said, I think he's dangerous. So the preacher told me later, I said, what do you say? I said, it's your preacher, you're called to preach on him. He said, you ought to get away from you. I said, really? I said, you probably ought to listen to your pastor. He said, no, something not right. See, because when he knocked on the door, we had those outside doors of the motel. Me and little Ashley walked up the door, and he howdied with us a little while. He said, I'm here to pick up the dog. Knocked on this door. It's 12:30 for lunchtime. The man didn't answer the door. Finally answered the door, and he's shunning the light like this. He's in maroon pajamas, and he's going, what time is it? What time is it? He'd been out all night. Yet he's going to tell that young preacher to get away from me. I think that's very interesting. There's something about people with discernment sometimes you want to get away from. Maybe they'll find you out. What about that? But all of a sudden now, this young man had a choice to make. He had going to have to follow that or follow maybe what he knows to be true. Thank God he followed that which is true, because now that preacher is an absolute washout. Falling away. Shall ye also go away? He said, preacher, what may cause people to do that? Number one, you ought to write this down. Number one, it's called the natural sifting process of God Almighty. He'll come through a church like that. He'll do it here at Faith Baptist Church at times. You wonder why people leave. Sometimes we wonder why preachers go another direction and why they fall out. Because it's a natural sifting process of God Almighty. Why don't you go to Judges chapter 7, please? And I doubt if I'll be able to preach any more than maybe one point here. I got five. The sifting process of God. Go to John chapter 7, if you would, in your Bible. God had a way of testing and sifting out the cowardly and the weak. We have here in Judges chapter 7. Are you there? Judges chapter 7. He sifted through 32,000 people to find 300 strong enough and courageous enough and wise enough to be used for his purpose. I want you to see it in verse, Gideon, in verse, look at verse 2, please. The people that are, he's going to go against the Midianite, put a whooping on them. And in verse 2, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into thy hands, lest Israel vaunt itself against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. God said that's too many. I believe sometimes God didn't want the big crowds to be involved. Sometimes I don't know if he wants all of us to be a part of something. Sometimes it's a natural sifting process of God to get down to those who really mean business. And he started with 32,000. Then God said, there are too many. And if you win this battle and do what I ask you to do, you're going to be able to stick your chest out and say, it was me. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to announce to them. Just ask them. Look at verse 3. He said, if you're fearful, if you're afraid, go home. Look what it says. Are y'all with me now? We're talking about a church split of 22,000 taking off. Some of us worry when several leave our place. They got 22,000 people exiting stage left, going home afraid. Are you with me tonight? Look what he says. He said he remains 10,000. There remain 10,000. It's called the ministry of reduction. A lot of us in the room always want to add two, but here he's taken away. I want you to see it, if you would, please. Pick it up in verse, look in verse 4 again. He said it's still too many. 10,000 still too many. Look at verse 5, what he says. He said, now what I want you to do is bring them down to the water. He said, those that get out like a dog and laugh like a dog, he said, you make sure that we don't have any part to do with them. He said, you set them aside. That is not what we want. He said, what I want is somebody that can go down on one knee, get some water, and lap up and watch. It's kind of like watching and praying. When you're in battle, and when you're going to do battle, you're going to have to watch, not only pray, but watch. Down on the knee, pick up the water, and watch. He said, those people right there, those are the ones I want. I want you to look at it one more time, please, and I'll try to finish this thing up. 300. Are y'all with me today? 9,700 went home out of 10,000. Are you with me tonight? He went from 32,000 to 300 people that really meant business for God Almighty. And I want you to pick it up and see, if you would, please. In verse 16, it talks about him blowing the trumpets and breaking the pitchers. I want you to see in verse 18, please. He said, now when you blow that trumpet, he said, I'm going to yell out, revival fires and of Gideon. I figured some of you get that. And I want you to look at it, please, in verses 20, 21, etc. They were given the illusion, I'm rushing through this stuff, they were given the illusion of being a lot larger than what they are. Brother Coral, I'm convinced that sometimes God will reduce some of what we are just to get the people that are sincere. And if it's going to be reducing down and boiling down and sifting out those that are just playing with God and playing with this thing, he'll take the 300 and get it done. He really will. The reason a lot of this stuff is... These things is happening, and even with them and in our own ministry, sometimes they go away. The reason that happens is sometimes they just never nail that book down to be at the final authority of all matters of faith and practice. There are more people that are leaving our ministry today and our independent Baptist churches because they believe that standards are not in for today. And they're in this room right now. Had a man come to me the other day, and he said this. He said, I'd like to have lunch with us. Sure. So he sat down, and he's a banker. He said, you know, preacher, he said, get a lot of people saved. He said, but where are they all? And right then, the Lord gave me a message. And the message is, excuse me, but your evangelicalism is showing. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but there the Ethiopian eunuch, if you read it real carefully, and he saw him no more. Sit still and listen now. Everybody in this room that's a fundamental independent Baptist preacher, a soul winning preacher, you don't get a lot of people saved. You're not going to keep them all. It's impossible to. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Well, when I told him that, I got to thinking, I said, how sad is that? And the next week I was in Houston, Texas, and I'm preaching a mission conference. I'm looking around, and I'm going, good night. I said, would you stand if you were part of Northwest at any given time of Providence Baptist Church? Had 40 people stand. I said, boy, I wish I had him here to show him. There they are. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you are part of Northwest or have ever been a part of Northwest Bible Baptist Church, Providence Baptist College at any time, would you stand right now? Just stand right here. I want to see you. Come on, stand. I'm going to show you where they're at. Because a lot of these people are not part of my ministry right now. Not even close. Are you looking around? Some of these are not. Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, folks, listen. They're everywhere. And I don't know if you know this or not, but our churches should be sending agencies. We don't supposed to keep them in the four walls. We just send them out. I'm simply saying that there's some that are going to go away, but I'll take the 300. They were a smaller group. Listen now, of congregation to 32,000, but what power they possessed. They whipped the Midianites and the Amalekites, and these 300 were dedicated, courageous, and usable individuals. Listen to me one more time now, please. We need to understand that God sometimes removes people from our churches and even from our movement because he knows those who need to be taken out. Brother Rick Sal, you all right back there? So how many guys have we known that started off with the book and all of a sudden started questioning it? Those are the ones that I'm talking about. Sometimes God just has to weed them out. And when they start questioning that book, everything else begins to falter. Their soul winning falters. Their separation falters. Everything falters. Again, we always go around, and I'm not being ugly tonight, bless God, but we always go around thumping that Bible saying that is our final authority of faith and practice, and what a great message we heard today. But I want to ask you a question. Are you actually living that thing? Are you living that Bible? We can hear all the intellectual things about the scriptures we want. And about the book that we hold in our hand. I say amen, all of it. But I'm asking, are you living that? Because let me tell you, if you're living that, you ain't going to leave. Got a letter. Somebody said, Preacher, we have been praying and reading our Bible, and we have decided that it's time to move on after 21 years. And I got to thinking, man, that's the first thinking time that I have ever heard that guy actually was praying and in his Bible. And I wrote him a letter like that. I said, finally, it's getting through. And this is what I said. If you're really reading your Bible and praying, you wouldn't leave. Not in your heart life. You understand that God allows people to leave to get in the ministry, but he's not going to have you leave to go to an evangelical church and compromise. And some of you folks on your Facebook and your Instagram, you're always telling the story that you're departing for the faith already. You're apostatizing now. Shall ye also go away? There are preachers in this room right now. You will not be able to stand like Dr. Wallace stood just a while ago. You will not be able to do it. Because you don't have it in here. We kept some of these old men still going. Because they made that book the center of their life. They really, really believe something, had enough character and integrity to say we're going to stand when nobody else will, and we'll be around for a long time, wrinkled and all. I can't believe you said that, Brother Wine. I tried to get that image out of my mind before I prayed. I'm doing as best I could try to get through this, but I keep going back to that image. Number two, quickly, why do some depart? Because of the demands of the discipleship are sometimes too rigorous and a faint-hearted leave. I want you to look in verse 60, if you would, please. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Some of you ought to underline that a little bit. Because it's a shame when some preachers are introduced and they say stuff like, brother, buckle your seatbelts. I thought that's the way it's supposed to always. Back when I first got saved, that's the way it always was. We were disappointed if a preacher didn't do it that way. But now we apologize for the preacher before he preaches. I told folks before, don't apologize for me, bless God. Just leave me out. Don't apologize for me. Why would you apologize for me? Well, I tell you what, you just hang on now. Brother Gomez, he just believes. But his heart, he's got a big heart. Everything on me is big. You understand that? But they try to talk that stuff. Are you kidding me? Preachers used to preach hard on sin, and we'd get, it'd raise the roof on it. Now everybody clams up. Clams up because you're messing with it now, aren't you? It's amazing how we all used to get together with Angel. We also used to go to people's conferences, and we used to bring busloads, and we used to do all that when I first got saved. And boy, we were just excited about anybody that was doing anything for God. And now all of a sudden, we get jealous about somebody really being successful across town. I want you to look at it one more time. Hard saying. This is a hard saying. Look at 666. Look at it. And they went back and walked no more with him. I think it's very strange how some say that some of the preaching on sin is mean. But when they preach on it, it's passionate. They're writing books trying to mess with the minds of some of these young preacher boys. I think that's very funny. It's kind of like the man that came to my church one day, and I looked at him. You can tell he's a businessman. He walked in with his wife, and I got to thinking. I said, boy, I certainly would like that man to join my church. I went to see him. My son came with me, and we sat down. This is what he said. He said, Dr. Gomez, he said, you seem like you're pretty, you didn't have a whole lot of compassion on homosexuals. I got to thinking. I said, did I say anything against homosexuals? Well, maybe just in passing. My message was not that. I got to thinking, why in the world did he focus on that? Of all of the stuff that went on in our service, instead of him saying, man, what great music, and boy, preacher, thank you for preaching with passion. None of that. He just was worried about it. I said, well, I'm sorry, sir. I said, so who's a homosexual in your family? And that's why preachers can't preach. There's certain subjects preachers can't preach on anymore. In our fundamental, independent, just what the doc said, humanism, we're so full of humanism, so full of tolerance. I want to preach on the power of God in Acts chapter 2. They were intolerant. I'll show you that scripturally. All this tolerance trash that we're hearing today. He said, my son is. I said, I'm sorry about that, sir. My heart breaks about your son. I said, now, do you have any other sons? Yes, I do. I have some daughters too. Good. Won't you tell me, does any of them drink? Preacher? I said, any of them smoke? Any of them listen to rock music? Any of them go to movies, filthy movies? Any of them look at pornography? He said, preacher, why in the world, yes? I said, sir, you don't understand this. I'm a pastor. I'd love to pastor you and your wife, but I don't want to offend you anymore. So I just want to know if any of the other kids have sins, because I won't preach on those sins either. Just to get you to join. What about that? And he just dropped his head. He said, boy, you got me. I said, sir, I'm preaching against sin. I'm not preaching against your child. You mean to tell me that you're going to try to put the hurt on me and tell me you ain't coming to my church because I preached on sin? I don't even know you. I don't even know your son. But you're not going to get your son out of sin by coddling him. You're going to get your son out of sin by condemning it. That's what you got to do. He listened to me. His son began to make a turn. They did join our church. He stood in my pulpit before he left, and he said, when I came here, my family was about to bust up, my home, my marriage. He said, we got great healing here. It's amazing how people will take preaching on sin as being hard and offensive. Look at it in verse 60. Look at it. Hard. Look at verse 61. Offensive. I think those are biblical words. You need to look at them. A strong fundament in an independent Baptist church like ours calls for sacrifice that many Christians do not wish to make. Soul winning and standards and rule for Sunday school teachers and dress code and separation from the world. And when those things come, if you're not careful, folks are going to flee and run. Most evangelical churches do not require such biblical mandates. Hence, the people can go to church and hear a Bible message, enjoy entertaining music, a little easygoing, non-confrontational atmosphere, and never be confronted with the hard decisions about the Christian life. Oh, y'all listen to that. Sometimes the demands of discipleship are too rigorous for some. Number three, quickly, the attractions of material possessions. People sometimes leave because they're attracted to those things that of material possession. I've had men join my church and said, preacher, we need to move on and go to another place. He said, you know, I don't think you understand because you're always preaching against whining and dining. Some of you businessmen ought not be out whining and dining. I don't mind you dining, folks. Don't whine them. Some of you not respond to that either sometimes. Because you think it's okay. I've known more Baptists that are sipping wine right now than any time since I've been saved in 40 years. Drinking Baptists! Think it's all right. It's happening everywhere. It's the craziest thing you ever seen in your life, drinking Baptists. It's happening all over. Happening in all of our churches, by the way. Just trust me. It's an amazing thing. And I'm simply saying that sometimes, and they'll go for business opportunities. I don't know if you know this or not, but you're not supposed to use the bride of Christ to further your financial gain. You ought to come because of the truth of God's word, because the preacher stands right. We see that with the rich young ruler. And I'm going to hasten to get through these points. Some are professors and not possessors. It is possible a person to be in a sound church and hear sound gospel and suddenly join a church that preaches heresy. Now, I think it's amazing, Dr. Angel, that we're very comfortable, all us independent Baptist preachers, very comfortable by calling the names of Rick Warren and Swindoll and MacArthur, but we're very uncomfortable about correcting our own. You see the lack of amen right there? That's what I'm trying to say. Some guys that actually model their church after Rick Warren, but they're okay because they're us. Sit still and watch me now. That's where we're cutting the difference in whether you got it or whether you don't have it or whether you're going to be the friendly dude or you're going to be the truth teller. Model their churches, not after the scriptures, but after a man that all of us try to expose as gathering tons of people and drag them another way, getting some of our independent Baptist boys, because of some of the known churches and big churches now have modeled themselves after it, has now hidden the model, but now have some of our preacher boys. I think it's very interesting. And so what they do is they kind of sneak in some of the contemporary music, and the poor laymen, they don't know the difference. And I thought it was very funny the other day. Somebody told me that in one of the Bible colleges, one of the students got busted for a song that they had on CD and got busted for it. And in that big giant church, the choir sang that very song the next morning, Sunday morning. Sit still and listen. Happens all the time. But that's what happens when you have a compromised situation. Are y'all with me now? I'm simply saying that the test of time. Listen with 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The test of time and hard preaching sometimes will reveal that some of our church members and some preachers have never really come to the knowledge of the truth. The love of the world is another reason. I want you to see it in 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There is a departure, Brother Coral, because of some of these issues. And I think that we're losing some of our people, but we're also losing some of our preachers and some of our preacher boys, because some of this is just a natural sifting process of God. Sometimes it's just the demands of discipleship is just a little bit too tough for some of them. Sometimes they just want to be the big shot preacher and have the big shot car and have some money. So the things of the world kind of got them. The world, they're worldly. Just sit still and listen very carefully. I run a college. I know what I'm talking about. When you got preacher boys that are looking at R-rated movies, I don't want them to be my next pastors. So why are you being so transparent? Because I wouldn't want to know what's going on in some of the bigger colleges. How sad it is that we got some boys think they can get away with that and then stand before people and preach with the fire of God on their life. They won't address the social sins, the sins like social drinking and movie houses and dancing and playing cards and gambling and pornography and rock music and dress codes and mixed bathing. Nobody will address those issues. There's a reason a person should leave a church, apostasy and heresy and liberalism and compromise. But the reason we have a drifting and a falling away, because of the sifting process of God. The demands of discipleship are too tough. Attraction to material possessions, and some professors are not really possessors. And some just love the world. And we're going to have that continuing. I wish we had all to make it, but some of us have been in this long enough to give illustration after illustration after illustration after illustration. Truth of the matter is, we like to preach positive messages, but we don't like to deal with the truth that we need to deal with the sins of our own people. I'm talking about this group right here, us. If we don't deal with us, we can point our fingers all we want out yonder. Judgment starts at the house of God. We need to get right with God right here. There's some young men that are looking over the fence. You you're glancing over there, seeing if it's all right. You know somebody that's a fifth-generation independent Baptist preacher that just joined Southern Baptist. How sad that is. Another one just decided to go another direction. Just go sit at the feet of somebody who's going to send him straight in another direction. Before long, he's going to have contemporary music in his church. Because of being influenced by something that's shiny. Everything that shines, not gold. We get some of these ministries that we're really, really impressed with. Folks, I'm not trying to bash anybody. I'm trying to tell you that we have a problem today, and here's our problem today. We believe there's a good God and a good devil. Let's group hug. Everybody smile now. And that's just not happening in our movement today. There is a division right now. There is a fight going on right now, and you're going to see that thing play out in time. There's going to be a total separation between those that really, really believe that book and really believe in conservative fundamentalism versus those that are going another way. It may take some years to turn, but you'll see it. Because let me tell you something. When the graduates are starting community churches instead of Baptist churches, I got a real problem with that. Shall ye also go away? I'm asking some of you, shall ye also go away? I've asked me that. Shall I ever go away? Far greater than me have stood. When I say that, I'm talking about some men that I looked up to, idolized. These older men have been at it for so long, I idolize them. Wonderful men. But they go away. I'm staying with that book. And I'm staying with the one that saved me. Shall ye also go away? Could it be that next year, if this conference goes on, that you won't be here? Could it be that some preacher in this room right now, you're just reading after the wrong people? You're reading stuff and stuff is getting in your mind and you're saying you're considering that a little bit. Well, we ought to be a little nicer. A little this, a little that. We could all use some of that. But you know what? If they're using that to lead you astray, away from what you know to be right, you're in trouble already, pal. Trust me. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is a hard saying. An offensive saying. I've never been confused about what's preached at a meeting. I've been confused about this one. Just never could get the peace of God. And I don't know if what I said was what I should have said. But I'm telling you right now, I'm concerned tremendously. We got our programs. We got everything going on, but we don't have the power of God. And we're using these programs sometimes to try to grab people and get them in the church. Cute little whatevers. First class this and first class that. Sharp this and sharp that. How about the power of God? When I think about Harold Sightly, I don't think about being real, real sharp. I think about a man of God. When I think about Lee Robertson, I don't think about sharp. I think about a man of God. When I think about Tom Malone, I don't think sharp, I think a man of God. Think about Jack Hiles, I don't think sharp, I think about a man of God. And that's what we need to get back to instead of just gravitating to all this stuff that's slick and so-called first class and get back to just being people of God. Let's stand our feet, please, with a head bowed and eye closed. Father, I pray that you'd help tonight. Have us to understand, Lord, that sometimes he just has to reduce us down to be a powerhouse again. There are a lot of churches that were more powerful when they were smaller than when they were bigger. Lord, sometimes you just reduce us down to the least common denominator. And I'm certainly glad, Lord, tonight that you gave us this example. And as you walk alone when those had forsook you because this was a hard and offensive saying, may we look to it also, Lord, and understand that there's coming a day when we're going to come to the fork in the road. The pressure's going to be put on us to compromise. I pray, Lord, we'd stand for thee in thy book. I pray that you'd bless the invitation as you can now. In Jesus' name, and amen.